is awkward.
Introduce the podcast. I don't know what to say. Welcome back, guys. This is the Lucas and Michael Show. I'm Lucas.
And I am Michael Silva.
But today, we're going to go into the preference of mental health. And we're probably going to talk about it in different ways that may reach you, but it's outside of the standard norm. And we're definitely going to dive into that. We actually have a guest on our podcast today.
Yes, and before we get into that, if you haven't listened to the last two episodes, go back to last week's episodes, which is all about the three ways to have the most productive day in your life, as well as getting out of your comfort zone. Mm. Like Lucas said, today we have a special guest.
I'd like to
And our special guest is...
Hey, everyone. My name is Gio Carcamo, and I'm actually visiting from Eugene, Oregon.
Eugene, Oregon.
That just goes to show you, folks, that we have guests from almost across the country coming to visit to be on this podcast. Wow. Thank you. Thank you so much.
How far of a drive is that?
About 7.5 hours with stopping at Taco Bell on your way.
Oh.
Yeah.
Taco Bell. Go ahead. I don't know how many Taco Bells.
So you're probably wondering who Gio is. Well, instead of me telling you exactly who he is and what he's accomplished, I'm going to tell you a little story about what kind of person this guy actually is. So.
Oh, wonderful. Can't wait.
And so we worked together in Oregon. And before we really knew each other, when we worked in the same channel, Gio was he's the outgoing extroverted type. And I am more of the introverted stay away from me type. It takes a long time.
Facts.
Yeah. So one of these days when we were working, after work, he reaches out to me and asks me to come over to his house and make tacos. And correct me if I'm wrong, right? Because sometimes I forget. Mm-hmm. Okay. So
with a bunch of friends.
Yeah. He wanted me to come over and make tacos with him. Just him. No, just about a bunch of friends. A bunch of friends were over there. And instantly when he said a bunch of friends, I'm like, no, I'm good. Then he said, come over and make more tacos. And then by the, probably what, 70th time?
Yeah, probably 70th.
No, hold on. Was this over a 1 day period?
1 hour period.
1 hour period.
1 hour period. Persistent.
We do agree with that on the story.
Yeah. So to get me out of he must have knew that I was just really extremely introverted, but finally I said, okay. And I went over to this, to his house to make tacos and, well, it was a lot of fun to sell you, but I ended up bringing a crap ton of seasonings just because he said not to bring anything. So I figured, why not? I'll just bring stuff to season up the tacos. And yeah, it was a great time, right?
Yeah, I don't know if anyone that's ever brought 20 seasonings to someone's taco making party, tacos, margaritas. What does he bring? 20 different kinds of seasoning. Makes a great impression that he just is trying to impress every single person and give everyone every option. So.
Oh, I bet they weren't just your standard seasonings either.
No, they were not just standard seasonings in the slightest. But yeah, you had nothing going on that night though. You were like, Hannah's gone and like, I'm home alone. So I was like, well then come over and hang out.
Now, Mike, how did you end up in Oregon to begin with?
Yeah, I went to Oregon for work.
That was a mistake.
I loved Oregon. I still miss it. What do you mean by a mistake?
I don't know. Oh, okay. I could not. I don't know if I could live in the town you lived in Oregon, though.
Springfield?
Yeah.
Eugene? It was basically Eugene. That's what people in Springfield say they live. I live basically in Eugene.
I felt like there was nothing there. And it was rainy in the wintertime.
Yeah, you came to visit.
And then blazing hot in the summertime. Yeah. A different type of hot. Like humid hot.
That's because we didn't have an air conditioner.
It was bad.
I love you,
Jake. But Gio, we're excited to have you here, man.
Thanks for coming down.
You know, talking about, you know, I think that story right there references what we talked about 2 weeks ago, getting out of your comfort zone. You would say you got out of your comfort zone.
Absolutely.
And how did that turn out for you?
Best buds over here.
Yeah, now you got a lifelong
friend.
Create
a whole new friendship. Yeah, exactly.
And Gio was in your wedding as well.
Yes, he was.
So you would say this man has made an impact in your life over tacos. Just the simplest thing to force you out of your comfort zone.
That's why I told the story, to tell you what kind of person he is. He is one to force you out of the comfort zone. I got my dog humping my leg right now. That's so funny. Force you out of your comfort zone. And he just, everybody that he comes in contact with, he just makes a profound impact in their lives. Somehow, some way, some shape, some form. Some square, some circle, some triangle.
Some oranges?
Some orange, some lemons.
Some lemons.
All right, so let's wrap this up. Wrap it into back to what we want to talk about. Lucas, you mentioned that we wanted to talk about today. We're going to be talking about, go ahead.
Mental health. Again, I want to remind our viewers that this is completely unedited, unscripted. This is just off-the-cuff conversations. And that's what we like to do. We like to talk about things that intrigue us and just go with the flow of how the conversations are going to flow. Now, with that being said, I'm going to open it up, and I'm just going to throw mental health out there. Just that big, bold word.
Giant word.
Mental health. What does that mean? What does it mean to you?
When I think about mental health, I think about just the importance of looking out for the things that no one sees, the real side of yourself, almost, that you, the way that we think, the things that we tell ourselves, the way that we, sometimes the lies we believe about ourselves, just because that's what we're so wrapped up in. And I think mental health is about addressing those things and being able to have the self-awareness of maybe where your head goes when things happen. Or yeah, it's just about being aware of your own mindset, and then how can you not self-sabotage and do all those things, just because no one's telling you those things, yet you are intrinsically believing them.
Right, and how often would you say that, I mean, the average human gets stuck in their head over things like that, right? Being self-aware of it, but not just being self-aware, but actively realizing it and making action to it, right? How it's crazy where... Even on myself, on a daily basis, I could literally just get stuck in my own head and own thoughts where it can derail my entire day.
100%. I think people are in their heads more than they even are willing to admit. And that's, I think, the importance of mental health, is being able to be self-aware of it, because or else it does just turn into a trap that you're stuck in. And I think it happens multiple times a day. Just anything that affects us, like externally, we just can internally, you know, obsess on.
What would be like a good example, like maybe of when you get stuck in your head? I mean, because I feel like the topic's so wide. So what would be like a relatable?
I think a good way to like just dive into it is insecurities, right? Insecurities are a mental health platform, in my opinion. Again, I'm not a psychiatrist or a doctor or anything, but I believe that insecurities is a form of mental health that can pollute your life in just the simplest form, right? You have, talking about getting out of your comfort zone, right? It's kind of an insecurity that can completely drive your mental health and stability on how you interact on a daily basis. And why I want to talk about this is, I mean, being single to now having a family, I get so caught up in the day-to-day life routine stuff, taking care of the kids, going to work, doing all those different things, that I get stuck in my own head. Dude, there's times where I want to snap, and that's not healthy. And I think the way you overcome those things is to be spatially aware of your mental health. You're going to have to excuse this brief pause. We got a visitor at the door. And Coco's greeting them. What just happened?
I don't know. Seems like a
neighbor. Mike left the room. Is it cookies?
Our mail that's in their mailbox.
What nice neighbors. Yeah. Holy crap. Talk about going on a tangent. Nice neighbors. So Ashley and I, we left the house yesterday and we took our kids up to the snow. She walked out of the front door. The garage was open. I walked out of the garage. She did not close the front door. We left town for 6 hours with our door wide open.
What?
And nobody came to the house. No one came in the house. Nothing was stolen.
That is insane.
Talk about a wild experience. That just speaks testaments to like the neighborhood that we live in.
That was at your new house?
Yeah, that was yesterday.
Oh, wow. Okay.
Yesterday, we literally left, went up to the mountains, played in the snow all day, come home. Ashley turns to me and says, "Did you go in the house yet?" "No." "Why is the front door open?" I kid you not, like all of a sudden my dad defense mode went in. Mm-hmm. Walk in the house like, I hope some motherfucker's in here. Because I ain't going to do shit, but I'm gonna act like I am.
I'm going to walk in like I'm going to.
Yeah. But 6 hours with the front door open.
That's crazy. Right.
Switching
back. Somebody rang at the doorbell. You guys probably already said that, so I had to step out for a second. Where were we before I...
We were talking about insecurities.
Mm-hmm. Okay. All right, get back.
Are you insecure?
I think everyone... I am, personally.
What are you insecure about?
I think a lot of things. I think everything that I do on a daily basis, I find insecurities with. Like, I might not be good enough at work. I might not be able to bring enough value to a team. I don't know. I mean, the list goes on and on. I think it's okay to be aware within those, like, be aware that you're insecure. Mm-hmm. I think that's more than fine. There's actually a book called The Mask of Masculinity, and it talks about...
Yes. Go there. Yes. I've read the book.
Oh, you have?
Yeah.
It, I guess in short, it talks about the mask that we wear as, like, men to basically... Mm-hmm. You know, be stronger than we actually portray ourselves, and we're like kind of cut off the emotions. Am I saying that right?
Yeah. So this book, it's I'm not sure if it really paints a picture to today's society as much as it did maybe 20 years ago, right? Our parents, our fathers, the mask of masculinity that they put on men. Right. I mean, women obviously have their own shit they got to deal with. Mm. But men, they have their crap that they have to deal with, where they have to be no emotion. We have historically been proven to not have to share emotion. If you share emotion as a man,
you're weak.
You're weak.
Because you have to be the provider of the family.
You got to be strong. You're not allowed. You know, I take that comment back. You know what? Fuck society, because that's still how it is today. I go through it. I feel weak if I have a moment of weakness. I've had mental breakdowns, literally mental breakdowns in front of my wife where I'm like shaking because I'm overwhelmed and I feel weak in that moment. Why is that?
You know what's funny is, just to go back, you asked me like, what are your insecurities or do you have insecurities? I feel like if there was somebody that said, no, I don't, they're clearly hiding their insecurities.
Or they're a woman.
No,
I'm serious.
What do you
no
mean?
No woman will ever admit. I don't know. The women I've been with never admit that they have insecurities.
I disagree completely.
I don't know. The women I've
haven't been to like one woman that says I am the most secure, strongest person on the planet, and I'm like, oh,
they
well,
hide it behind
I'm,
a facade.
I'm not.
Yeah. They hide it behind a facade. Oh God. I don't even know where we are right now.
Well, we're talking about insecurities,
yeah, insecurities.
Because it has a big part. It falls within that
mental
umbrella
health.
Of mental health.
Right.
Yeah.
Which
it's usually at the root and the cause of a lot of mental health issues.
Yeah.
Is we behave based on our insecurities or even opposite. We're paralyzed by our insecurities that we aren't acting on it.
Paint me a picture of an insecurity that can affect your mental health. Mm. On the spot.
On the spot. I think, all right, this is, I think, a good, I know that for me, like, I'm someone that's similar to the masks that you guys are talking about. I always have had an insecurity about, like, my own body image and my own weight. But then you have an insecurity that you have an insecurity because you're a guy. Because that is a typical girl issue or a typical, like, women are the ones who worry about that, not guys. And I think that it starts becoming... Like, am I less of a man because I care about how I look or that I'm insecure because of it? And it's crazy the lies you tell yourself, because even when I look back on pictures of when I was really thin and like whatever, I seriously in my head thought I wasn't. Like, I would see it and always find something wrong with myself. And looking back, I'm like, okay, now, sure, you have a real reason to be upset. But before, like, you had no reason to be. And it was crazy how that became its own trap in itself, that it became sort of like, well, I'm already like fat, so who cares? And it was weird because I felt like that wasn't something I could share with anyone, something I could tell people, because who wants to be the guy who is that insecure about what he looks like?
Or if you bring it up, they totally discredit you.
Right.
And say you're being, in my experience, a drama queen.
Mm-hmm.
No, you're not. You're perfect.
Yeah, and I'm like, thanks for being nice, but
it's an internal struggle. Right. Even if they say that, it's still an internal mental
100%
struggle.
Even though like people would tell me like, no way, like you're literally you're wearing a small shirt, and I'd be like, I know, but like barely, like kind of like I am really sucking in hard to do this right now.
Do you? And I'm. Sure. G and I, we've met each other twice, and yep. I don't want to get too personal, but yeah. You still struggle with that.
Yes, in a way of like that's still something I'm conscious of and that I think about daily, but I don't think that I'm as paralyzed by it or I think I'm willing to talk about it, and I think that I'm willing to like to not be as ashamed about it as I probably used to be, that I even, because I think I was ashamed that I had an issue, not what I actually looked like. I was ashamed that I had that image
right
of myself.
And I love the picture that you painted, because I think that's a stigma that is in our society that can go not just from the youth, but all the way up to adults. Mm-hmm. And I believe with that specific stigma of like body, like body image, where does that come from? What is that derived from? I also do believe it gets less and less and less the older that you get. Because if you go to my great grandpa, who's 95 years old, he doesn't give a fuck.
Yeah.
And he will sit there and go hit on chicks. He will. At 95 years old. I think it's the weirdest but coolest thing, because he feels confident in himself.
So I think that could be the minority and not the majority. Because I hear time and time again, like, well, for example, for me, I'm 31, but yet I still feel like I'm 21. So I feel like if I'm insecure now and don't work on that, I'm still going to be insecure about that same exact thing 20 years from now.
And that's a mental thing. But how many times do our elders tell us that it's going to get better? Don't worry about it. And I do this on a daily basis, where I wish I could go back and tell my 16-year-old self that don't worry if you're not able to date girls. Don't worry about your body image. Don't stress about those small little things that you're stressing about in such a, yes, it's a very emotional time when you're in middle school and high school, but do you wish you could go back and tell yourself that, holy crap, it's nothing that you're experiencing in the moment that you're experiencing that?
Do you think that that would actually make a difference if you can go back in time and tell yourself something?
Yes.
Okay, so let's do it right now. So pretend you're 55 and you are now coming back to tell yourself something. Do you think that'll change the direction of where you're headed?
Yes, for a fact. And
It
goes with the confidence thing. It self-doubt, mental health. It goes back to, if I could go back and tell myself, don't stress, because I always struggled with loneliness as a teen.
What would you tell yourself now?
What would I tell myself now?
Yeah. So right, because you're saying if I can go back, you know, when I was 16. So now let's play this card 20 years in the future and say, if I can go back and tell myself, how old are you, 27?
Yeah.
If I can go back and tell myself at 27, because you've been told by elders.
Yeah,
so.
10 years ago, if I could go back 10 years, right? If I could go back 10 years and I could tell myself, do not stress over personal relationships or your self-image, that would wholeheartedly drive more confidence into myself and what I believe I could do.
So if you were 37, now let's pretend you're 37 and you can come back and tell yourself that you're 27, what would you tell yourself now?
I don't know. I'm not 37.
But I mean, you get advice from people that are of that age and older.
And I believe we all make mistakes, but the stigma around the mental health side of this, right? Yeah, there's always going to be something you wish you went back and did differently.
Sure.
But I believe it is important to focus on the mental health. And if we look at society now, I mean, I have little siblings that are in high school and middle school that it's tougher now than it ever has been.
See, I wouldn't tell them to not stress. Like, I would never tell myself to just not stress about it. Because I think when you tell people just to stop stressing, it, like, that doesn't address why they have a mental issue. Like, that doesn't address really, like, what's wrong.
That's a good point.
Because it's not about just, like, who stops stressing out. And because I'm sure they're thinking, look, if I could stop stressing out, I would. But I think, like, I would tell myself, like, look, you're not the only person with this problem. Like, it's more that's about exactly telling yourself, like, it's okay to talk about these things. It's okay to, like, bring this up, because it's not about, hey, stop worrying about it. Like, you'll be fine someday.
So it's addressing it.
It's addressing it. It's like, hey, it's okay to address this now. Like, we have, we just live with so much shame that, like, we put on ourselves. And from even this one thing, or this one comment our parents say, or this one thing that, like, someone said to us on the playground one day, and we believe that to be true, that then as we get older, like, that's just what we believe and that's who we are. And then we create this identity around it, when I really think it's not about, don't stress, that's not who you really are, but it's
a lack of, like, a lack of community to know that it's okay, that you're not the only one.
Correct. Because that's what, like, mental health, the issue of it is so lonely. Right. It is all in your head. It is, you're the only one. And it's just really hard to accept that there are other people who deal with these same issues, or there are other people who can relate, or even can just help you work through it, and being able to listen to them.
I have to agree 100%. I find a lot of comfort in knowing that other people are struggling with the same thing, which seems kind of rude to say, like, oh, I'm happy to hear that you're having the same issues as me.
Yeah.
But there's some sort of comfort in that community, knowing that
you're not the only one.
Knowing that you're not the only one.
Right. Yeah. And that's, I think that's where I was trying to take that was, if I knew that I was not the only one struggling with it, and it's normal to have those thoughts and feelings, that I wouldn't have felt so alone and struggled so much. If there was a community and just being active in that, right? Talk about, like, Me Too movements and things like that. All these people who have been sheltered, not sheltered, but in the dark and afraid to come out in who they are.
They have victim, like, you know, that where they feel that shame because they were a victim of something so horrible, which is like, what do you mean? Like, you weren't even the one that did anything. Like, that was done to you, yet they feel that that same, like, I'm alone in it, no one's going to believe me, like, this person's in power, whatever.
Right.
It's scary. It's so sad.
And do you think there's a community? Is there a safe place for adults or young adults or even older adults to go to find that community?
I'm unaware if there's a place. However, I think that if you're seeking out a safe place, I think it should be always guided by some sort of professional. Depending on the level that you're dealing with. Like, if you're dealing with drug, alcohol, abuse, domestic violence, stuff like that, I think it shouldn't be dealt with, like, your friends that are dealing with it too. I think that there should be some sort of professional involved in the situation.
So severe issues involve a professional, but what about it, like, the things we're talking about, body image, or relationship, just that, is there,
I think that there's a definite community out there that can help you get through those things. Like, for example, body image, like, it depends, like, maybe you're struggling with your body image, but you don't want to do anything about it. You just want to feel better about yourself,
right?
I personally don't know.
Do you think, we'll talk about our trends of communities now. We got, what, social media? What is that? Facebook, Twitter, Instagram. What else? What?
All those social platforms. Actually, I think one of the biggest insecurities is driven from comparison.
Yeah, from even social media platforms. I believe that social media platforms cause those.
I wouldn't even consider that a community. I mean, yes, there is a community, I guess, like, but it's all about opening up, and, like, sometimes it is that vulnerability, you know, like, it's because, like you said, sometimes it's how do you figure out even just that, like, what's severe and what's not, right? Like, I don't know, like, to someone, like, their body image could be the most severe thing of their life and they do need professional help for it, or being lonely is the most severe thing that they're ever going to go through, you know?
Yeah.
And so I think that, like, sometimes it does require professional help, but I think that there needs to be, like, a taken off that stigma that you only go to them for, like, something serious, you know? Like, my parents are divorced and, like, all this stuff. And I always tend to lean on, like, my family's the one that all needs therapy. Like, they're all crazy, you know? And, like, and, like, them. And I'm like, I feel like I'm the healthy one. Yet, so because of that, in comparison, I think, oh, I'm the one that needs therapy the least, when the reality is I probably need it even more than they do. But I have this weird idea of, like, well, I'm not as bad as them, so I don't need it, you know?
But you hold that in, right?
What?
That stigma of, I'm not as bad as them. and that's your fuel to get over that.
Yeah, I think that you like it's a comparison thing, just like you were saying before. Like the comparison thing can it like I can either use it to feel better about myself or healthy, whatever. But that's like same with Instagram, right? Like you're only going to post pictures you look good in. Like if you get pictures taken poorly of you, I'm like, I won't post it. Thanks for taking that picture, though.
That'll go in the photo album.
Would you consider that kind of like an excuse to yourself to not go to somebody?
100%.
Because I always thought like I would love to, but I just don't see me. So you don't know what you don't know, mm-hmm. right? And I just don't see the need to go to like I don't know what I talk. Like, why are you here, Mr. Silva? I have no idea. Right. So why don't you tell me about yourself? And then all of a sudden it might just unravel. Who knows?
Mm-hmm. Have either of you ever been to a counseling session? Like a legitimate sit down, talk to a counselor.
Like outside of high school?
Yes.
No.
I have.
Okay.
The first thing that they try and get you to do is they try and make you pinpoint, identify the problem on your own. Mm-hmm. And I even taught this as I was a pastor. It was to identify the problem or define the problem on your own. And the questions that they're questions specifically designed to make you address it and make you find the solution.
What's interesting about what you said, though, what if you want to go in there just to build on strengths? So, I mean, you just said, like, so what's your problem? Like, so
what are you struggling with?
That clearly is the stigma with therapy or a therapist is like you're going there because you have an issue. But what if you just want to go in there just to
talk?
To talk and or to like get better at something. Like, for example, like I have a hard time focusing in on things for long periods of times. And I wonder what's pulling me away from that. And I just want to get better at whatever, you know, maybe. Mm-hmm. I just find it interesting that it's like so. Identify what your problem is, and then we'll help you.
And that's kind of again, that's identifying a problem is just one side of it, mm-hmm. but there's a lot to it because it all goes back to that big bold word of mental health. Is why do I struggle with focusing with things? That is a mental health thing that we have to focus on. What is it in my head that is causing us to not, or causing you or somebody else to not truly focus 100% on it, and how do you overcome that? Right.
So in order to go to therapy, you probably would have some sort of problem, at least a problem that you think is a problem.
Not necessarily.
Okay.
But you are going to therapy. Why would you go to therapy unless it is to level up in some way, shape, or form?
Mm-hmm. Or even I think it's like trying to achieve a better self-awareness. Like you're trying to achieve like, what is it that makes you do these things? Like, just like you said, like you're after and trying to find an answer to figure out who you are, what makes you who you are, and things like that.
I think in today's day and age, like self-awareness is probably one of the most important factors, because then if you are very self-aware, you can then level up and you can stay away from the things that you're not good at. And I think potentially therapy is probably one of the greatest tools in the belt to become super self-aware.
Right, and therapy doesn't just have to be derived as talking to a counselor.
Correct.
Therapy can be driven by talking as a community. What we're doing right now, mm-hmm. in my opinion, is a therapy session.
Yeah.
We're talking about these facts. We're talking about these struggles and or weaknesses, bringing them out into the light. That is therapy, mm-hmm. all in its own. There's so many different forms. There's physical therapy. There's mental therapy. There's social therapy. There's all these different types of therapy, but again, it's focusing on your mental stability. This thing, the biggest. Oh man,
they can't see it.
I know. I'm pointing to it, thinking you're going to see it. Your brain, your mental capacity and ability is what will drive you forward and or backwards. Mm-hmm. That's why I believe it's important and why it's a huge stigma in our society today. Because we get involved with social medias and all these constant, content. We're all content driven. We're always seeking to be entertained, and it causes us to push a lot of things back. But we have to also focus on the aspects of where that is taking, and we're not necessarily focusing on oneself. there's that ultimate saying that you cannot help somebody else until you first help yourself.
100%.
Right? Mm-hmm. And that is where I think we have to turn the page, read into that, and figure out is where are my shortcomings? And I preference it a lot in our podcast on how I was a pastor.
Yeah.
But I wasn't the best pastor. Mm-hmm. I had shortcomings. I had mistakes. I had where it probably wasn't necessarily the best or the right time for me to be a pastor, but focusing on those things can then make you level up rather than shutting them down.
I've just always felt that and something that my pastor that because I am pretty involved in a church, and one thing that I've always really found profound to me with my own life is this order of an order of operations. I can think about math and how there are certain things that have to happen first. And, you know, he talked about parenting and being a husband and wife and all that stuff. And he talked about before you can be a good parent, you have to be a good husband, you know, and before you can be a good husband, you have to be a good person or a good man, good woman, good, whatever you identify as, that's what you have to focus on first. Cause if you're not a good person, you're never going to be able to give your best, and a good person, I guess, is probably obviously a relative term or whatever, but I think that you have to focus on your own self and being able to be healthy. Know what makes you, you know, if it is for me, going on a hike and being outside, I know I need to do that before, if I'm too cooped up for too long, I'm not going to be the nicest version of myself. Mm-hmm. And being able to understand what helps you be a better person. So you can give your best to your spouse. You can give your best to your boyfriend, girlfriend, whatever. And then from there, you want to be a good parent to your kids. Well, you got to be a good husband to show them a good example. And this is who you pick to live with for the rest of your life. You know, they're here for 18 years and then see you later. They're going to do their own thing, you know? And I think just that, even that piece that comes down to it, I just think that if you can focus on that order of operations, it does help you drive you to being healthier as the day goes on.
I want to add to that. So that's a great point. I actually heard that in my church as well. Where you know, in order to be a good husband, you need to be a good person, right? But a good son, and to be a good son, you basically just overall need to be, you need to work on yourself first, is where you're going with that, right?
Correct.
Something that I noticed is we last week or the week before, we talked about kind of waking up in a state of reaction. And we're, you know, we wake up in the morning, the first thing we do is we go and grab our cell phone and we look at it and we're responding to work or responding to different platforms or whatever we might be doing, but we're not giving ourselves the time of day to focus in, just wake up, not worry about anything. You know, you go make your coffee, you go on a walk, you know, staying away from being reactive and really focusing in on yourself, I think makes a huge, at least for me, having that morning routine, it really does help out.
Being proactive rather than reactive, right? You taking aside those stimulants that are going to make you react to certain situations, and setting aside an hour before you wake up, or an hour when you're waking up for you. That is you time. An hour before bed.
Yeah.
That is you and or your spouse time.
Yeah.
Right. What my wife and I have tried to do recently is the bedroom is for us. It's not for our phones. And yeah, we can have the TV on, we can watch a show, but it's for each other. We're not distracted by those other stabilities.
You know, it's the right thing to do when it's extremely hard to do.
Oh, for a fact.
It's very hard for me to leave a cell phone, and even my wife, leave our cell phones in the kitchen before going to bed. I don't know what it is, but clearly it must be the right thing to do because we find so much struggle in doing it.
Yeah, nothing in this life comes easy, right? The things that empower us and make us stronger physically, mentally, emotionally, never come easy. Nothing in this life has ever just been easy. If you have to work for it, then it's worth it, right?
Absolutely. Yeah, I think that if it comes too easy, then you never really learn the appreciation for it. And so I just think that, you definitely have to work towards it.
And all of this just goes back to that stigma of mental health. All these areas you have to focus. And what I want to give the listeners before we go is let's brainstorm together. What are three simple things, just simple cues to focus on your mental health?
I think one thing that's extremely important is to give yourself time to wake up And the first thing that you do is to give, it doesn't need to be an hour. It could be literally 10 minutes. But the first thing that you should do is have that time for yourself, whether it's to write, to meditate, to walk, to exercise. I think in order to, you got to feed your mind something positive right when you wake up, just to start off the day.
That's, again, going back to what we said earlier, you have to focus on yourself. So step one, focus on yourself, right? Focus on you first. You have to better yourself before you can better others around you.
Mm-hmm.
What's the second takeaway?
You know, this is a shameless plug, I guess, but like I have recently gotten into taking like the Enneagram stuff, and I've done Myers-Briggs before and all that other stuff. But I took the Enneagram test, and for those of you who don't know, I would look it up. It's a really cool personality thing that it's like E-N-N-E-gram. but it's a cool self-analysis, and it's really all about being self-aware. Like, it's not going to be 100%, and it's kind of cool because it gives you, like, how you score on each one. Sometimes you're, like, two different personalities super close together, and you're able to kind of read both, and really you know yourself to read both and know which one's more you. But I think the coolest part about it, I think a lot of us get caught up in, like, well, what's the perfect, like, version of me or whatever? And I think that what's cool is that each, whenever you find out what number you are or whatever, it even tells you, like, 9 versions of that and how you are the healthiest. Like, it talks about mental health and, like, when you're at your least healthy, this is what you're like, you know? And it has a little just, and it's a little, like, 2-sentence description, and it talks about 9 different levels of mental health within your personality type. And it's crazy to think that, like, the things that when you're, because you can see the ones that are at the bottom that are so driven out of insecurity, like the way you're responding, you're reactive, like you're talking about, instead of being proactive. Where at the top, you're just comfortable, like when you're at your healthiest, you really are someone who is just confident in who you are. And like, it's all about being self-aware. And I love that it even brings up a whole like love one, like about like who your perfect match is, because we all want to know like what personality type we should match with the best. But the best part about it is it talks about how like any 2 like numbers can be a perfect match as long as you're both healthy and self-aware. Like, it's all about health, like being self-aware. And if you're not that, it doesn't matter. Like, you could be with a perfect match, but if you're not even aware of who you are and how to be like the best version of yourself, you're never going to do it. And so I just think that that's something that I do, is not only do I reach out to friends and family and pastors and those people to kind of talk through things, but I think even just tools like the Enneagram test that aren't going to be like a all and be all, right? Like, it's not an excuse for, sorry, I'm a 3, so I'm not good at that, right? Like, it's not that. It's about really embracing like self-awareness and how can I constantly be better. And I think those tools are out there to help us do that.
Identifying where you're weak and strong. And 100%. We've talked about this before. It's the spider chart, right? Where what do you focus on to become a more well-rounded individual? So that's awesome.
Absolutely.
Spell that one more time for everybody.
Enneagram?
Yeah.
I believe. Now I'm like insecure. Now I'm like, no, insecure. No. Now, one of my insecurities is sounding dumb and looking dumb. So now I'm on the spot. Enneagram would be, I believe, E-N-N-E-G-R-A-M. I'll look it up just to double check.
And is it a 1, how long does it take? And then 2, is it a free test, or do they have to, is it a couple bucks, or how's that work?
There are free tests, and I did spell it wrong. This is what happens when I'm under pressure. It's E-N-N-E-A-G-R-A-M. No, there's free versions of it out there. I would say if it takes you 3 minutes and you probably took not the right one, it's not going to really give you a good analysis. But there's one that was free on there, like, from that I took. It's like the second link on Google, but it was like 90 questions, like 14 pages, but they're all just like quick questions. Just take you like 15 to 20 minutes to take it. So
that's a great recommendation. I can't wait to actually try that out, 'cause you sent me the link.
Yeah.
So I'm excited to try that. That was number 2. Why don't you take number 3?
Yeah. So address again, these steps is step 1. It's focus on yourself. Make the time for yourself. And that falls perfectly into
number two. Is a great tool to do that.
Yeah, it's a tool identifying what it is you need to work on. And 3, what I want to preference is find a community, mm-hmm. right? You're not alone in any of these situations that you go through. May it be a substance abuse, may it be just a personal image, whatever it is, you need to find a community to fall into that, to make yourself feel not alone, because I can tell you, you are not alone in any situation you're going in. You are not the single and only person to go through the struggles you're going through. And that will help you overcome that mental stigma. And that again, shameless plug, is there's a platform. And why I talked about community is in today's society, we don't see a big community. And there is a social media platform that will allow you to have that community that is specifically driven to focus on that mental health and that stigma of building that community. It's, and this platform, I'll just, it's called Must Motivate, right? Mm. Mustmotivate.com. You can go there. You can find a community of people who are struggling with the same things. And not only that, you can find actual influencers. And I believe the word influencer and how we derive it today is not what it needs to be. An influencer needs to be someone who directly influences and helps somebody else. Mm-hmm. May that be through content, may that be through lifting each other up. But an influencer is someone who can impact. A billionaire needs to be defined as not how much money you have, but how many people you helped, right? If you help a billion people, you are rich as a person. So go check it out. Go check out mustmotivate.com and build that community and find. So again, one, we're going to talk about it. One, make time for yourself. Two, what was it?
Well, just find resources like the Enneagram test. Or yeah, things.
Identify where those struggles may be if you don't know. And then three.
Find a community.
Mm-hmm. And here on the Lucas and Michael Show, we want to address the fact that if you are truly struggling with something and you do not know what to do, seek help immediately. And there's the National Suicide Prevention Lifeline that if you or a loved one are struggling and you have nowhere else to turn, you can always chat with them online. You can call an 800 number. That number is 800-273-8255. If you, a loved one, or someone that you know is struggling beyond belief, and this is your last resort, reach out to someone. And these people are there for you to help you get through those moments. Because as we've all addressed in this moment, you're not the only one, and it does always get better. Mm-hmm. Well, we thank you for listening to today's episode where we discussed mental health. We love you guys. Go ahead, follow us on any social media platform. You can reach me at Lucas LaFont on Instagram.
And I'm Michael Paul Silva. And a special thanks to Gio for coming out to our show. And you can follow him on Instagram
at Gio Carcamo, which is GEOCARCAMO.
All right, guys. Thank you so much.
Love you. Peace.